Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gronk is back at the goal line along with Daron Harmon, Chung, and Jonathan Jones, Rowe, Devin McCourty, Gilmore, all inside the 15. Watson takes the snap with the clock frozen at 5. He's in the pocket dancing around. He rolls to his right. He pulls up. He launches downfield. Oh, well short of the end zone. That ball's going to come down and knocked away at the 15-yard line. Incomplete. With Vincent Smith, the closest receiver for the Texans. And time has run out on this season opener as the Patriots run off the far sideline with a 27-20 victory over the Texans.
He could only throw that ball 50 yards. That's unreal.
And all the while, by the way, the scoreboard clock was frozen at 5 seconds. But it's official. The Patriots are 1-0.
And we're off and running. Patriots with a win under their belt to begin the year.
Yeah.
One down. One down.
Start.
Many more to go. Patriots win yesterday, beating the Texans, as you just heard Bob Soucy say. What are you laughing at?
Artie's jersey. I can't even look at him. Take it off. The hopes and dreams of other fan bases.
Tonight's
the Patriots. It's just like a ho-hummer start, and the Detroit Lions have everything hanging in the balance tonight against the Jets.
4 hours of Lions-Jets preview today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I can't take it. Oh, that's why you're beautiful.
Hardy's got a Lions jersey on today.
Yeah, a number five. Yeah, Hardy.
Yeah. The name is Hardy on the back. It's a personalized product.
Thank you to George the intern from many years ago who presented us all with jerseys at the end of his internship.
Well, I wish you the best tonight, Hardy, but the team here in New England already has a win. They're 1-0 to start the year.
How do you feel about that? Well, I was listening to you a little bit on the post game last night. I think you and I shared some of the same thing. It's a win. That's good. It's good.
It is good. I think the biggest story of this game that will impact the rest of the season is the defense.
Defense.
That to me is the story
defense
of the day. And I know
story.
There were other stories a part of this game, including the first touchdown to Rob Gronkowski and Brady and Gronkowski. Right out of the gate. Just makes you feel good after the offseason and everything that happened. Yeah, that's great. Gronk looks fabulous right out of the gate. Brady looked pretty good. I don't know that he was the sharpest coming out, but you know what? It's week one. The game was not really that close.
They labored on offense.
I said it for four quarters. They labored. The final score of this game is not really indicative of the way the game was played.
No. They controlled it. They controlled this game. If he doesn't muff that punt and fumble that punt, and I know Chatham said he went back and looked at it and that he recovered the punt and the refs blew it. And I don't know. I got to look at it again, but that's when, it sort of.
No, he absolutely did not recover that punt.
Okay, thank you.
So he laid on top of it and then left his arms fully extended, and he didn't pull in to try to tuck the ball in.
That's what I thought.
Batamosi ripped it out from underneath him.
Jonathan Batamosi.
Johnson,
that's right.
The defense is the story to me.
Of course
that,
it is.
That to me is such an improvement of where this team was a year ago. When we began the season last year, the first, month of that defense was sort of train wreckish. And the defense was the issue in the Super Bowl. But I'm not talking about where they were by the end of the year. I'm talking about where they were to start the year last year. That was bad. And a year later, you start the season, and you have a defense on the field that looks like it can actually play. Can get to the quarterback,
Derek
can
Rivers
pressure
was
the
inactive.
Quarterback, can get after the guy, can actually cover, can make plays, all of it. I just think that the defense is the story of this team, and that's a unit that I think will get better as the year goes on. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be health and it's going to be depth. Again, a guy like Derek Rivers, who we look at the entire preseason, and
yes,
talk about that guy trending upward.
Not so much.
They looked at this and said, Keontae Davis, we're going to activate him because it's about an edge guy. All of a sudden now, you're facing a quarterback that you're worried about breaking containment. Now you can pick and choose who you're going to activate and deactivate, and this is the way it's going to be all year, and you sort of advance it, and you see you know, Juwan Bentley and what he's been able to do as a rookie in 55 snaps and trusting him to call defensive snaps and move guys around. I'm watching Stephon Gilmore in bunch sets, direct traffic. You didn't see that last year. You didn't see that at all. But this is the stuff that guys like Jung McCourty are talking about. Where do you see Gilmore this year, guys? Where do you see Gilmore? And I've been hearing that. See, I didn't see that in camp. And now you're able to game plan and say, you know what? We're going bunch. We're going to take you and put you on DeAndre Hopkins. How did he look yesterday? How did Gilmore look against Hopkins?
He looked
pretty
great.
Damn good.
I thought he looked great.
That's one of the top three guys in the league right there. You give me that every week and be in his hip pocket. And even when he did catch the ball, like Gilmore's there all over him. What a chance to knock it out or strip it or make the tackle. There was no yak. There's no yards after catch. Do you know they had one play over 20 yards? And that was to the rookie tight end on that post corner. That's an explosive team on offense. They like to get in shootouts.
Yeah,
that's
I thought the good. Texans would have been better. I really did.
They were disappointing to watch. Now, I know, hey, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I like the Patriots. I was disappointed in the Texans' game plan. We're all over it. Just lining up the run plays. Like, if he's not right, meaning Deshaun Watson, if the leg, and I think that's part of it here, guys. I mean, he's not 100% yet. I think he'll get it going, and the Texans will find a way to get it going with him, obviously. He's a damn good player. What are you doing in a read option? You know what I mean? What do you got him in a gun for? Riding, you know, misreading things. He doesn't see the field very well yet this year. He did last year. But, I mean, there's a lot of things to get into with this game. But I just thought their plan was terrible. Texans' plan was terrible coming into this game. And you could tell that the Patriots worked their ass off on offense because you didn't get one look that was the same in any series. The shuffling of people in and out and what Josh McDaniels was able to do and just keep the Texans at bay defensively was phenomenal. And that's all Brady, too. Brady's directing traffic on that. And Gronk was great. Gronk was great yesterday.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls right out of the gate today and your reaction to the win. Biggest story for me, the Patriots defense. They got a defense again. And Bill Belichick coach defenses typically get better as the year goes on. There's not too many years where you get to the end of the season and say, wow, this defense is really falling off a cliff here. They really were playing. No, typically,
they're aggressive.
Typically they get better as the year goes on.
I'd like to
hear
a little.
Their starting point this year is in a really good place compared to where it was last year. They were better at the end last year than they were at the beginning. They were, but it's just that they started at a point that wasn't great. This year, they're starting at a pretty damn good point if we're basing it on the one game that we have to look at.
I'd like them to be a little better against the run, especially later in the second half when they were torching, when Houston was torching the Pats defense with the run, and it wasn't with exotic run plays. It was without a lead blocker.
That's the only thing Texas did well.
As Zoe said on the broadcast, he goes, they're off tackles, just like boom, just, you know, making holes and going through and picking up those 6-7 yard pickups. It's like, yeah, you march down the field in much the same way Brady will march down the field with 5 and 6 yard receptions. If a team is able to do that with you with a very unsophisticated run game, that could pose a problem.
Yeah, I do understand that because you look at the number 162 for the game and you say, that's too much. You can't be doing that every week. But I think a lot of that in the second half was situational. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were in charge of the game and they were happy to give it up.
Yeah, go ahead and chew clock.
Go ahead, too. Chew the clock, run all you want.
That's,
you
know what? Fair.
But
they got them in the right personnel set defensively where they said, you know, and credit to Texas, that's like the only thing they did right offensively was, okay, we're effective running the ball. They're getting gassed. Let's not let them substitute. You see that one break, and there was a mass substitution. Patriots ran 5 new guys on.
But there were plays early that would drive you crazy in this regard, and that is on the second drive after Deshaun Watson had already fumbled. Deshaun Watson showed very little awareness of where he was when he was in the end zone being wrapped up, okay? What should have been a safety.
It's a bad call.
Which should have been blown dead. It wasn't, but on the, I don't know if it was the next play. It was the next play. The 31-yard run out of the end zone for Miller.
Yep.
That, to me, is, well, you can't give that up there.
Yeah.
That's where you just can't have that.
That was third and 15.
That's not situational. That's not giving up 6 or 7 yards. That's a back-breaking 31-yard, big swing and field position, getting yourself out of the end zone type of play that you look at and say, you got to improve there. But on the whole, I mean, I'm not going to get too upset about a few runs in that first half. I think you're going to win a lot of games by being able to shut down passing games, by being able to get to the quarterback. That, to me, is a proven method and philosophy to have success in the National Football League in 2018.
The deflected,
shutdown quarterback.
The deflected interception, too.
If you can get to the good quarterbacks,
yeah,
you're going to do a lot of damage.
You sure are, and that guy's pretty agile. But the deflected pass that Brady had intercepted,
yes,
you came on as a defensive unit. You made them go backwards. Like, you held them to three there. You give them the ball inside the 20. They went backwards on that drive. That's huge. That's huge by the defense early.
Negative yards.
Yeah, negative.
Negative.
Like that.
Negative yards after the turnover. So they had a good stop on that one. But the defense is the story on this team. I know that there were some good things offensively. We're going to get to that. So you said they labored. The Patriots were laboring.
Said it the whole game.
Yeah. Offensively.
And Brady echoed that.
617-779-0985. We'll get to that. Also, we've got a full lineup of things to get to today. Read and react.
We're loaded, man.
Sounds of Sunday. Why the Texans were stupid. Coming up at 11. It never fails, does it?
It really
does. This segment never fails us.
Which coach will crap his pants in Foxborough? We should rename this.
Or players.
Yeah.
It can be players, too.
Jesus.
But we'll get to that. Why the Texans were stupid at 11. We'll get to your calls on the Patriots offense and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski coming up next.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots.
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So it's a third down and 12 now for the Patriots after the fumble by Houston here in the early minutes of the first. Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown. Patriots!
What'd I say? Where's your tight end at? I mean, how many times have we seen this? Not only against the Texans power, but against other teams. You're covered. It's double coverage, yet Brady probably plants the back foot, and he sticks it to the back shoulder of the tight end. That looks pretty darn good to me. The health, the ability of him to get downfield and twist for a guy that size.
Crap aside of the offseason, it's really nice to see Tom Brady connect with Rob Gronkowski right out of the gate.
Seamless. No,
just felt good.
Seamless.
Just felt good.
Yeah.
I thought it just felt good.
What business does he have throwing that ball? And then he does it, and you're like, yep, that's kind of what they do.
Well, because it was 3rd and 12, and he said, F it. I'm going to stick it to a guy that I know is going to catch it.
I'm going to get in rhythm.
Tried that silly little run game for a while, hand it off to Rex Burkhead, and, you know, pick up 6 yards on the first down.
Well, you didn't enjoy you didn't enjoy the first drive where they ran it twice with James White? You didn't like that?
Three runs. Those were fun.
But, like, you know what? I don't care. I know that he's got coverage all over him and that the safety is right there, just a few steps away from him.
Let it rip.
I'm going to throw it right there anyway.
Grip it, and you know what?
He's going to turn around and he's going to catch it. It'll be fine.
And he's going to score a touchdown.
They can't stop it.
He's going to score a touchdown. Oh, it just felt nice. Just felt good. That's all. That's all. Just made me feel like, just gave me the warm and fuzzies.
It felt easy.
Oh, Brady to Gronkowski. Yes.
That play felt easy. It shouldn't have been that easy.
You know what it felt even better about?
What?
After the fumble, which, number one, nice to know that Gronkowski is probably not going to fumble again the rest of the season, because now that's, he'll be thinking about that, and that's not going to happen. Next drive, let's do the exact same thing.
Right back to him.
Yeah. Well, was it same play? Close to same play?
Yeah,
catch was made on that next drive.
It's
that
inside seam where you're going up, and he's got to look back, and the ball's usually placed pretty high for him, you know, over the shoulder, which leaves him vulnerable. And for him to make those catches is pretty impressive to me, because that's how he's got the back injury. That's how he had the knee blown out. T.J. Ward chopped him down. Earl Thomas hit him square in the chest. He's been violated. Let's call it for what it is. On some of those routes where he's going up the field and he can't see the safety. And you got to sacrifice your body. And he continued to do that yesterday. It didn't faze him. This guy doesn't alligator anything. Meaning he doesn't just short arm the ball. Like, oh, I'm not going in there. How about the one he said, I don't know what Tom was thinking on that one. I can't believe he threw
it. That's the one. That's the one that Hardy's talking about on that next drive.
Oh, my God.
Over the middle of the field.
Crazy. Crazy stuff. The one where, you know, you debate whether it's a catch or not. And I'm telling you, the way they're going to call these this year, based on what they did with DeAndre Hopkins and that, Those are going to be called catches. These double clutch ones where it looks close, they're going to give them to the receivers. That's the way this thing's trending, it seems to me. That's the way you got to get used to calling these new rule changes. You know, you don't have to catch it through the ground. You don't have to complete the catch. This is screwy for referees and for replay people.
One of the things we talked about a year ago after this game, after the Texans game in the end of September, and much of September last year, were the hits that Tom Brady was taking in year number one. He was getting hammered. Month number one. The first month of the season, he was getting hammered. He got hammered in that game last year. The Patriots offensive line kept him upright and protected him well yesterday.
It's good to have Cannon back. It's really good to have Cannon back on the right. It gives you flexibility to rotate guys and keep them fresh because there are conditioning concerns with Trent Brown because of his size. But he played well yesterday.
I did not see anything that would have me concerned based on yesterday.
But his ability to step and reach, and that's a big man. That Clowney kid, folks, I know you watch him on TV, you go to the game and you see him. Until you get down here and you stand and you see the length of his arms and how far they hang down and the size of his biceps and just the structure of him, it's impressive. Like, you sit there looking like, whoa, that is a man.
Brown had him frustrated yesterday.
He did.
Did you see some of the body language from Clowney? There were plays where he was pissed walking back to the huddle.
Punching the ground when he got up.
Yep. He was not happy.
Yep.
He was not happy. I don't know if that came through on the broadcast on TV, but I can tell you that he was not a happy camper in that game, thanks to Trent Brown.
Good job, Scar.
Good job. We all had that question about him going into yesterday. You know, how's Trent Brown going to hold up? How's it going to be for four quarters?
I tell you what.
We saw some plays in the preseason where he, you know, didn't exactly give it his all.
Because they flip Watt, too. It's Watt, it's Merciless, and it's Clowney. And Brown was able to block all three. If he could do this in consecutive weeks against that Jacksonville front, it's pretty good. Pretty good pickup by them. Pretty damn good pickup replacing who they lost.
617-779-0985. Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Oh, my daughter a little bit.
Go Bruins.
Number 77. I'm not talking about Ray Bork. I'm talking about Trent Brown.
Oh!
6'6", 380. The guy blocks out the sun. I thought Vince Wilfork was big. This guy is ginormous. And on the defensive side, it's great to see a pass rush defense from the Patriots, especially Wise Jr. Wise Jr. had a great game yesterday. Your thoughts, guys?
Dietrich. I keep going to it, too, and it's something that was evident in the preseason. Whatever they're teaching them, and they're taking it to heart and they're understanding it, is when they get vertical up the edge, is to come back downhill. And it's the hardest thing to teach people. Because I played with Chris Slade, and all he would do is run by guys and go 10 yards upfield. And it was up to Willie get him on the other side. That's a tough thing to teach a young kid, for him to consistently do it. But the leverage points, their push, and they're going to be shuffling things. And they'll figure this out, too. It's nice to have Flowers back. Because he didn't have him all preseason. So now what Flores is going to be able to do with Coach Belichick is sit there in his defensive meetings and say, okay, now we're getting our game legs with this guy. You got Flowers back. Can we take him and move him on the other side? Can we move him around a little bit? Can we combo that with Rivers and Wise at the same time and some of our young sets where maybe we'll leave Bentley on the field to cover a tight end? So you're going to have some different options to rotate guys on third down. It's big.
Will's in Framingham. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going? Oh, talking about that helmet-to-helmet hit on Burkhead.
Which one?
The one where Burkhead, I think he was running the ball, and he got drilled helmet-to-helmet, but there was no penalty call. There was nothing.
I didn't see. I don't recall that. You recall that, Bill?
Really?
I don't
remember that.
It didn't stand out to me. I don't. Jim, did you?
Is that what we're talking about? Is that what we should be talking about
today? No.
A helmet-to-helmet hit on Rex Burkhead. When did that happen?
Now, I'd be more upset with the Daron Harmon call.
I don't exactly remember when it happened, but I texted you guys when that happened.
Okay, I do remember your text.
29 p.m.
Okay.
Let's take a look at that.
So we're talking end of the first half?
Okay. Right? All right, so we got hit in the helmet.
Football.
And? And?
I thought Watt had one where he got Brady, picked him up, and let all the weight on him.
I mean, if you Based want the answer, the way, if hey. You want the answer why no one's talking about it, I'll tell you why. Because the Patriots won a football game. They've got a defense. Brady, Gronkowski, there's just way better things to talk about.
Defense. This is fun to sit here and talk about defense.
They missed a helmet-to-helmet in the first quarter? Referees are going to miss a call every single week. Yeah. Every single week, they're going to miss a call.
They're going to screw stuff up, boy.
They're going to mess things up every single week.
The best part about the defense is that it was like fourth quarter, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Adrian Claiborne plays for this team. Yes. They were doing it without him doing anything. He wasn't non-existent the first half of that game.
I don't think he really stood out yesterday.
Not at all. I just saw him on the sideline in the fourth quarter. Like, oh, that's right. He's on the team.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
That's a half thing. I'm not going to take that as a bad thing. I mean, could he do more coming in the coming weeks? Yes.
It's going to help you relieve Hightower, too.
Here's a question I have about this game, though. On which side of the ball did the Patriots win the game?
Defense.
Did they? Are we sure of that? Because they took the control by scoring in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what my point is. It's hard to come up with a definitive answer on it, which tells you it's sort of a balanced win, a balanced game.
It is a good balanced game, but when you watch both sides play, which side seemed to have more rhythm and flow to the game?
Oh, the defense.
Okay, there's I mean, Brady's telling you, again, we had no rhythm whatsoever in this football game, which tells you he labored.
Here's my positive.
But he played well.
Very positive. I told you I was going to overreact if the Patriots won. I am. I'm very positive.
Yes, I love this.
Very positive. The defense will be able to win you games. This defense, based on this schedule, will win this team games this season more often than they probably have in previous years. It'll be less about Brady in the offense and a little bit more about the defense. Now, is that a pro or a con? I don't know. I still would like the offense to be better, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like them to improve offensively?
Well, you know they're going to improve. They're going to improve. That's a pretty good front they played. Pretty damn good front they played. And you're going to get Edelman back week 5. So now, if Philip Dorsett continues on his trend for the next 4 weeks and develops this rapport with Brady, 7 catches. Give his money yesterday. You know, it's going to allow Hogan to be Hogan, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? When you get Edelman back, Chris Hogan's going to go back to the Hogan role. That's not a bad thing. That's what you have him for.
Josh is in Wareham. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Now that we actually seen what this receiving core is going to be without Edelman, and I personally thought it looked pretty good, I want to know how you guys think what this offense is going to be once Edelman gets back. I mean, now that we see what Brady can do, I think it's just going to make this offense even better.
It's going to put less strain on everybody else. It's going to take some of the coverage off Gronkowski. You got to decide which guy you're going to double on third and short. You're going to bring in Patterson and allow him to do some more of the stuff that he looks good at what he's selected to do. And again, I mean, it's going to put Hogan back in his normal positioning instead of being a true number one or number two. And Chris Hogan is not a number one or two, even though he can elevate and play and give you something. Now, get him to run into comebacks, the in routes, the quick hitches, that stuff.
Why the Texans were stupid coming up at 11 a.m. this morning. Coming up next, the day that Ian Rappaport had on NFL Network before any games were played on Sunday.
Talk about saving things and keeping it in the bank.
Oh, did he ever? Had all kinds of reports to unleash about the Patriots yesterday related to Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero and Josh McDaniels. He was covering all the offseason bases on the Sunday of week one. We'll get to that story, his reports, after these headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots 1-0 on the season after beating the Texans 27-20 yesterday at Gillette Stadium. Rob Gronkowski in on defense at the end of the game to defend the Hail Mary. Gronk, you guys practice that?
The jump ball, I mean, you don't work on it. It's not an everyday thing. I mean, something you install, you work on it once or twice a year, and you just remember it. You just remember the jump ball. It's easy.
Simple. As for his offensive performance, Gronkowski, 7 receptions yesterday, 123 yards and the touchdown. There are 2 Monday Night Football games tonight. First, the New York Jets visit the Detroit Lions, and then later on, the Los Angeles Rams visiting the Oakland Raiders. Red Sox had a 9th-inning rally last night, topped off with a Mitch Moreland RBI base hit that gave them the 6-5 win over the visiting Houston Astros. Tomorrow night, the Sox homestand continues with the 1-of-3 against the Blue Jays. Headlines are brought to you by U.S. Marker Board, the go-to supplier of whiteboards and glass boards for New England businesses for over 20 years. Draw up your next winning play at usmarkerboard.com.
We used to have my kids flag football.
A U.S. marker board?
Like one of those boards, yeah.
You use a whiteboard.
Whiteboard.
Okay. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere, balls everywhere, balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One of the Patriots' issues that got cleared up this offseason is the future of Rob Gronkowski. He is going to remain a member of the Patriots through the balance of his career. Here is why. Earlier this offseason, the Patriots had intense trade talks centered around Gronkowski. At one point, it looked like a deal sending him away from the Patriots might get done. At that point, Gronk stepped in, resisted, refused to be traded, did not want to go anywhere. He was adamant that he would either retire or remain with the Patriots. At that point, trade talks were off. He eventually had a reworked contract with New England. He doesn't want anyone throwing him touchdown passes besides Tom Brady. Another big issue for the Patriots this offseason with Josh McDaniels, of course, he bowed out of being the Colts head coach. And here is my understanding of one reason why. The Patriots gave him a 5-year contract, which is huge. Basically, never happens for a coordinator. From what I am told, he's being paid like a first-time head coach, the highest-paid coordinator in football by far. At one point, his contract eclipses $4 million per year, Rich.
Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet, doing work yesterday on NFL Network.
Yeah.
People had that before.
Well, that's the first time I had heard someone go on the record definitively stating
somebody
exactly
stated
what
as fact.
Yeah, someone stating
the report,
it as fact.
Putting their name to it.
I've heard it. But
I've heard a lot of stuff, but that reporting as fact, not just rumor, while I hear. No, this is what happened.
It was your team too, pal.
They brought him in and
look good in 87
had
era.
That meeting and that day that the meeting took place in the office with Rob Gronkowski, his agent Drew Rosenhaus, and head coach Bill Belichick would have been the day that they said to him, well, if you're talking about trading me, I'll just retire. Yep. I'm not going to go play somewhere else.
That was 3 days post vroom vroom vroom. I'm really good at vroom vroom.
Yeah, vroom,
Tuesday.
Vroom,
that was Tuesday.
Vroom. They were looking to trade him. They'd had enough. They had enough of this crap, and they were done with him. And he came back in and said, no, I want to be here, and this is where I want to focus on and focus on what I'm doing here. And everybody made it right. All was right in the world after that,
yep.
That come together.
Got an extension.
So when the reports were denied that Rob Gronkowski was being shopped when it was called hogwash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was hogwash that week. Maybe that week there was no...
Right, where Brady stormed in and threatened to retire also.
Yeah,
right?
that may have been hogwash, but it wasn't hogwash that it was discussed at some point in that offseason. It may have been hogwash that it had been close on that Friday that we were, hearing these rampant rumors. But those came from a place that's based in some reality, and that is the team... And more specifically, the guy in charge of the roster, Bill Belichick, considered trading Rob Gronkowski this offseason. And so he's back in. He got the contract tweaked. I get the sense he probably still wants more money, but he's not going to get it.
Whether or not like it was like 100% true, the fact that Bill took control of that situation and straightened his ass out is, you remember Rob releasing the thing. He's excited to be back. I'm coming back for the next day. Put it on social media, on Instagram. After all the back and forth with the fun stuff with Amendola, go be free, and it just seems like Bill that Tuesday took control of the Gronkowski situation.
You know how Bert last week said, well, the guys who get paid in New England are the ones that put up the fight and the guys that cause issues and go through the years, and Bert named a bunch of guys. And I said, I still believe on some level that Rob Gronkowski's actions this offseason hurt him. It hurt him in getting the money. He said, well, no, look, he caused a big stink and then he got an adjustment. Yeah, but I don't think he got the adjustment that he wants. And here's what I think happened while all this went on. He lost leverage when he had to go in and recommit himself to the team because they were tired of it and they would just move on. When you lose leverage when you say, well, I don't want to play anywhere else. I'll just retire.
You lose leverage when you say, I'm only going to catch passes from Tom Brady and play for Bill Belichick.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll
it's
just
kind of selfish. Huh?
You know what? We're not going to cut your salary,
and if he's,
but we're not going to give you right. anywhere near what you would get from another team, and you're just going to play here.
I
yep.
want a hamburger. Okay. I want a hot dog.
Thank you.
It's like the smells kid. Yeah. I wanna.
And they also know that for him, money is not the number one factor. It's important to him, but it's not important enough for him to say, I'm not showing up in New England. I'm holding out. I want a new deal, and I'm not showing up to work. And if he were to get traded elsewhere, he's not going to hold. He's going to shut it down and quit and be done with football, which tells you right then and there that money is not the number one motivating factor. It's about his genuine happiness, which comes in part from playing with Tom Brady and comes in part from getting paid
right.
and hopefully making a lot of money. But it's not the only thing he's got going.
Super satisfied is what he calls it. Super satisfied.
Do you think Rob Gronkowski handled all this well to get the best possible outcome for himself?
No, because if he did, it would be guaranteed money. You know, you get your contract restructured. You get maybe the year guaranteed. There's different ways around it. And not that you get the extension. They gave him raises. That's what they did. But they're carrots. They're dangling out there in front of them.
But based on that,
that's what
yesterday,
it should be. That's the way you should be able to have to earn your money in this league. Or any league. I hate the guaranteed money stuff.
Even Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Incentives?
No, I'm saying in general, all players, you know?
Yeah.
Like these Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers deals are ridiculous.
Well.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I think that Jimmy Garoppolo deal might be looking a little ridiculous. But the thing that what was kind of brought back into focus for me yesterday was the fact that I know we had talked about this in the offseason when Tom Brady was not, you know, really committed, and Gronkowski, I don't know, I'm going to play. And it was a little conversation, but I think it's real now in that Brady could end up playing longer than Gronk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Gronkowski is... And you don't really think of it. You see just this young guy, and you see him out there again yesterday, like... Oh, he could do this for another 5-6 years and be a contributor to any number of teams. But when he says I'm only going to play for the Pats, and he's only going to play with Brady and Belichick, and that not even really, really sure how long that is going to last. I'm like, oh, Brady could end up going somewhere else. I don't think Gronk will, unless he's going with Brady. That seems pretty legitimate. When it's talked about earlier this spring, and then somebody puts their name to it yesterday, like, oh, I guess he's serious. He only wants to play a little bit longer and only in this situation.
Part two of the reporting yesterday, Josh McDaniels gets, actually, you know what? Let's hang on to that for a second. Guerrero back in. Guerrero for both Gronkowski and Brady. Going to get better access than what he had last year in the sense that he can work on now Brady and Gronk anytime he wants. Inside Gillette. That's the way it was sort of summarized yesterday. Team travel back on. So travel is back, treating both of those players. They've obviously come to some sort of agreement on this.
And even Bill's press conference yesterday when he was asked a question about Gronkowski and Brady and that throw, you know, the throw that we came back with there on the first touchdown. And, you know, normally with every comment Bill's asked about a player, he kind of throws it to the group. Well, we all got to do this and that. He went out of his way to say, these are two great players, really, just phenomenal what they do. So talented and happy to have them. Like, he is really, I think, extended. You know, we talked about it in the offseason. You don't want to call it an olive branch, but Bill seems like he's gone out of his way to accommodate them, which may help keep a copacetic atmosphere there.
Well, if that's what he did, if it is genuinely him,
he said that to me,
and it wasn't forced on him by anybody else, if it's genuinely him, then good for him.
Yes.
Because he's resolved it.
Like, two great players, and I'm glad to have them, man.
What Bert said to us yesterday, Bert in his pregame hit, said that, you know, the biggest issue has always been the recruitment of other players, and that had to come to an end.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the deal. You want to be in here? You can work on those two guys. Don't be in here recruiting my players. Maybe that's the agreement that they reached. You want back in on the team flights? Fine. But don't start going after everybody else. You know, don't get in the way of the team's staff. Don't start contradicting what they're telling guys to do. You're not one of our employees.
What about the color?
But I'll let you be around for those two.
Slept on my shoulder wrong. It's kind of like this one's like a little sore right here. I can just get that creak out of my neck. Work on me down there, Jacksonville. You can work on me, Guerrero.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
Okay. Don't touch me.
touch me.
Leave that alone.
Don't touch me.
So Guerrero's back in. And then McDaniels. A lot of money for that guy, huh?
He's happy.
That's a completely... <You're> wondering. That's a topic in and of itself that we are going to address today. We will get to that. That's worthy of more time.
Oh, we're loaded. We got to get to these calls.
We got a lot of things to
get to. Hey, thanks for hanging on the call.
Got a lot of things to get to. Coming up next, we're giving away another gift card for Subway.
Mm.
And I think we should mention what happened to the Red Sox over the weekend as well. Why the Texans were stupid coming up at 11.
You stupid or something?
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Oh, LeFlair slicing in left field. It drops in. And that's going to do it. The Red Sox have walked it off. The Standells. A thrilling bottom of the ninth inning victory. Mitch Moreland delivers the game winner.
Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Wes Welker at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Go Lions!
I'll make you pull your hair out.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line.
You know what? You can all just suck it because they're going to win tonight by
you're going to beat the Jets and a rookie quarterback.
13 points. 13.
We're
going to double up the spread.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Lion Pride. 617.
Restore the roar.
931-0985. You will score a $50 gift card for Subway. The barbecue rib sub is back at Subway. For a limited time, get a foot-long sub for only $4.99. Caller 10 right now. Contest line only.
If you got that rib sandwich, what'd you put on it for, like, sides, condiments, or veggies?
Coleslaw.
Ooh, good call, do they have coleslaw?
I'd bring my own.
Like, I would go with I would go with pickles and a little bit of lettuce.
Okay.
Okay. You know, we're going to move on from that. Thanks.
I'm a little hungry right now.
You don't want to do a segment on that?
No, I don't. All right. I'm not going to get sidetracked on that. I do want to get sidetracked on this for a minute, and that is the Red Sox weekend. They salvage a game last night. They avoid getting swept against the Astros over the weekend. But if Friday night was a preview of what the playoffs could look like, the Red Sox are going to make a quick exit.
Oh, God. Pray to God they don't, or they will get skewered.
That was embarrassing. They waste David Price's start on Friday night, completely wasted away. The bullpen has a full-blown implosion again, and you're doing it against a good team, which means you can read into this. You can look at this series and say, you got out of there, thankfully, with that win last night. Exciting win, all that fun stuff, walk-off fashion.
What's what you talked about with Cleveland? Like, where they're going to learn these series, they're going to take something. The good managers and the good teams are going to take something from playing against you. Like, little things you're going to find out. Like the J.D. Martinez stuff we talked about with Cleveland. Throwing the ball a little higher. Pitching him higher. And don't let him golf shot. Don't let him get that launch angle going.
I'm just wondering if Maz and Jim Murray and those types, the bullpen-proof types, and how this is their year now.
Mm.
Do they read more into a game like Friday nights, or do they read more into a game with the AAA lineup that they win in Atlanta? What's more meaningful when it comes to trying to figure out what's going to happen in the postseason?
The series against the good teams.
No, you would think.
Yeah.
You would think. Friday night's game, I've said all year, you know, we're basically crossing our fingers and hoping they can out-hit the other teams. Get good starting pitching and hit well. That's how they're going to have to win. They got the good starting pitching. And then they didn't hit enough. And so what happened? Their bullpen lost it for them. And for some reason, even though I've been saying this all year, I saw Friday's result. I watched that thing play out, and it rattled me. I'm like, oh, man, this is how it's going to look, isn't it? It brings down my confidence level in their ability to overcome this flaw of theirs. It does, because it was so ugly. What a train wreck. I'm glad they got the win last night, but that team, Houston has me scared, as they say. That team has me afraid. That's a good team.
Now, I thought the same thing on Friday night. That was just a meltdown. But what did you see when Stephen Wright came into the game last night?
Yes.
Okay.
I was flipping back and forth between that and the Packers.
Now, to me, I like that, but I also know that's not going to happen in the postseason. And managers are just scared to death of using their knuckleballers in the postseason.
Grady Little wasn't.
but say they get knocked down to fourth. Say you get knocked down to fourth inning. Isn't he the guy that's going to chew innings for you?
And that's the recipe we're looking for.
Seriously. But say your starter gets knocked down to third or fourth. Isn't he the guy that's going to chew innings?
Yeah, I mean, you say like it's not going to happen. I don't know that it's not going to happen, Artie.
I keep being told that it's not going to happen. They're not going to bring in a knuckleballer in the postseason. What are you, crazy? I'm like, I would like them to.
See, but
that thing was filthy last night.
I don't think that, here's part of the problem too. There's so much unknown about how this bullpen will be handled in the playoffs. I have no idea. I have no idea what that's going to look like. So now Matt Barnes has a sore arm, sore shoulder. You know, Joe Kelly has been garbage for a month and a half. Like, I have no idea how it's going to look. I have no idea how guys are going to be used. Might as well get unconventional. Go for it. Who cares?
I will admit that it can be a problem. Sandy Leone, for instance, behind the plate. It's tough to catch those things. That ball squirts loose. He's not the most nimble fellow.
He stays thick.
Can't chase that thing down.
Husky? Is he a husky?
Guys score from second and third while they're trying to locate the ball after right knuckles one over the plate.
So you never had that problem.
Ends up in a different zip code. Yeah, I get it. I understand the inherent problems of using a knuckleballer in certain situations with certain catchers, but what else are you going to do? Like you said, Beetle, it's like it's maybe time to get unconventional.
I won't fault him for it. I won't fault him for doing wacky things in the bullpen anymore. Do whatever you want.
Oh, I don't think it's all that wacky. I hate the conventional wisdom. It's like, oh no, you can't use a knuckleball in the post. You can't use a knuckleball. They might have to. I think they should anyway.
So Chris Sale's going to come off the
get nuts.
The DL tomorrow. He's going to come off the day disabled list, though, and he's back.
Yeah, he's going to start against the Blue Jays.
And he's going to go two innings, 40 pitches max.
That sounds
long toss.
It's September 10th. Saying.
Why not?
It's September 10th.
Okay. Not a lot of time.
I'm just going to tell you there's no room
You would like for him to be able to go more than two innings on September 10th?
There's no room for another setback, is what I'm telling you.
No. Like, this is it.
Oh, yeah.
So you start to actually get a little nervous with it. You're right.
Because it has to go well now.
So what's he have after that? Three more, maybe?
Maybe
if you do the math.
Yeah, he could get three more in,
but he's not going nine next time.
I don't know about that if you count tomorrow plus three more, where that fourth one would happen. Because if you're lining him up for the playoffs, you got to be sort of aware of that, too.
Well, that's kind of what they're trying to do here with him, too, and figure out what it is and get him up and going.
Eesh. No room for another setback there.
Nope.
Dustin Pedroia is not coming back, by the way. They have officially shut Dustin Pedroia down for the season.
I like that.
And oh, by the way, he had another surgery along the way to clean some things up. That was revealed over the weekend. So he's done. He's gone. He vows that his career is not over. Do you believe him?
Yeah, because he's going to try and come back. Yeah, you have to.
Okay, but is he going to get back? Is he going to actually play?
Probably. And then they'll probably shut him down again.
Maybe.
That's what they're going to do because of the money and what you owe the guy.
Bigger issue. They need a plan long term to find who their next second baseman is going to be.
Yeah.
They got to start figuring that out because it's not going to be him. Just not. 617-779-0985. So now it's the Blue Jays and they'll beat up on the Blue Jays and everybody will think all is right in the world. But that overall was not a positive result over the Red Sox this weekend. Despite their win last night. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds from now after these headlines, why the Texans were stupid yesterday. Stupid.